shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We are now into a Friday morning here on the West Coast. As you guys on, further east of us, you've been into Friday. And I say that into literally, not subjectively. Maybe you're not into Friday. I can't imagine people not being...
Yeah, everybody's into Friday.
Everyone's into Friday. So, nonetheless, we're into our Friday here at the El Pacifico, where we broadcast from. And we also... join you on Phil TV in HD at philhendryshow.com. Now, this hour, we're going to have Don Mixa on to discuss a little bit about the stock market. Actually, what we're going to be discussing is an initial public offering of Groupon. You know Groupon. This is these group coupons.
Yeah, my aunt uses them a lot sometimes, and I've heard about them. Yeah, those are the ones that give you discounts and stuff for stuff, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
What's the difference in them and a regular coupon?
I don't know. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know, and I don't want to answer any questions, but I will say this. They have gone public, and they are offering their stock.
What's that mean, gone public?
Meaning they're offering shares in their company to the public, like in a stock market.
Oh.
So they're offering shares in their company at $20 a share, and I thought... That sounded pretty good, considering what I knew about Groupon. I mean, they are a little bit of a phenomenon. People talking about them all the time. People using them all the time. I mean, so I thought maybe $20 a share. But we're going to get Don Mix on here to talk about that. We also have Harvey Wireman to discuss the Herman Cain situation and what that's going to mean. What do you think about that?
I think because he's black that they want to... say what they always say about black man, you know, that he's being inappropriate with women.
Yeah, but you got to admit,
I don't have to admit nothing, man. Just you a racist doesn't mean that I have to admit that.
I'm not being a racist or anything.
But why don't you admit it? Yes, you are, okay?
How can I be a racist if I got a black girlfriend?
I don't know, man, but you are.
You're always talking about every kind of... every time we talk about something having to do... with race, you're always like, well, yeah, but the guy was black.
Yeah, so you got to take that into account.
Why do I got to take that into account? Why?
Well, because of statistics and everything that they tell you about.
What statistics, man?
You're just a racist, man.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're a racist. And you don't even want to admit it. And I don't care if you got a black girlfriend. You probably aren't racist around her. She probably just only sees the good side of you. And you'll tell all this redneck. Cracker trash you talk when you're around us.
No, I talk my opinion about her and everything.
You do? You say to her, your girlfriend, Vivienne, right?
Yeah.
You tell her that you think it's entirely appropriate to be suspicious of a black guy when someone accuses him of sexual harassment.
Well, she told me that she's been hit on by black guys inappropriately.
Well, of course she is, man. Those only men she were around probably in her life. Did you think about that?
Well,
you know, bud, you really, I ought to kick your ass off of this show and have you go and get one of those sensitivity training classes. Do you want to be a racist?
I'm not a racist. I don't hate nobody.
Well, then, you know, you're like a lot of racists, man. You don't think you are, but you talk like a jackass. I'm going to send you one of them sensitivity classes.
You're going to send me to one of the places where they have the black jelly bean?
Yeah, man, you should send them to the jelly bean class.
No, and hold on for a minute. What do you mean the jelly bean class?
They got that black jelly bean.
Yeah, and they make you say that people are like jelly beans.
Black jelly bean? What is that?
It's a class they have for some corporate guys.
Let me tell it. It's a class they have for corporate guys that are racist. Like they had it, I think, for the guys at Cracker Barrel and a guy at a Dunkin' Donuts or something. And
what do you mean Dunkin' Donuts? Get this story right, okay? What companies are we talking about?
Talking about like Denny's, I think, and... and another company, and they send people to do sensitivity and everything.
Why don't you spit it out, man?
I'm doing better than you. I'm doing better than you. So anyway, they have them go to a sensitivity class, and the people are like jelly beans.
Oh, you know something? I think I remember this now.
Yeah, remember when they had it and they had a black jelly bean?
I remember this black jelly bean thing. These are yes, that is a sensitivity. That is a kind of a sensitivity class. I don't think that, I don't know about that. I would like people to be spoken to in a much more adult fashion. I don't think we, unless people are complete idiots, and believe me when I tell you this, if you were to say to me, no, Phil, we have evidence that human beings are complete idiots, you're not going to get an argument out of me. But I will say that if I have to approach a group of adults now, not children, but adults, if I have to approach a group of adults on the discussion of racial equality, and I have to use a bag of jelly beans to get through to them, we're dealing with mental midgets here.
That's what I mean. You don't have to do that with me.
All right, then what do I got to do with you? What do I got to say to you?
I don't think I'm racist.
You are, bud, and when you say, I got it, Robert, okay?
Man, this guy's an idiot.
No, you're an idiot.
Wait, hold on. When you say that you think that it's reasonable to suspect a black man of sexually harassing women, then why don't you say the same thing about white guys?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You think it's reasonable to suspect a white guy of harassing women?
Yeah, I think it's reasonable for a white guy to harass white women. And I think it's reasonable for a black guy to harass white women.
Yeah, see, right there is a racism, man.
Yeah, see, that's what it is.
That's not racist. I just said they're both equal.
Yeah, they're both equal. One guy's hitting on white chicks, and the other guy's hitting on white chicks.
What's racist about that?
You're basically saying that black guys can be stereotyped into the category of, I want that fresh white meat. Because that's my image of beauty, and I'm black, and that's how I think, and nobody, we can't look at people as individuals.
Well, at least I'm not saying he's the only guy that sexually harasses.
I'm going to say this to you for the last time. I'm not going to have an argument with you about this. I'm going to say this to you, okay?
Every time you tell me to do...
I'm going to say this to you. Listen, I'm not going to argue with you. You got a problem. It's a race problem. You got a problem with black people. You got a problem with people of color. I don't care if your girlfriend's black. You got to get your head straight because you are not there, man. You know, you're not in the 21st century on this stuff. You sound like a freaking redneck. You talk like a dumbass. And I know you're not stupid, okay?
Yeah, you sound stupid.
That's because I was in a motorcycle accident.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the stuff you say having to do with race. Is stereotypically dumb-ass redneck stuff. You know, even you slip up sometimes and call them colored people, all this stuff. I want you, you know, you can't work on a show. I'm telling you right now, okay? You look at this. Your friend, Robert here, is a black guy.
Yeah.
Don't you guys hang out?
Yeah, sometimes.
He's a black guy. And you're talking all this crap about how black guys sexually harass women. I've heard what you've said, man. Every time you see a name in the news and it sounds black, like Letitia or Lionel or some stuff like that, you immediately suspect it's got something to do with a burglary. Or,
not always a burglary.
Yeah, you sound like sometimes a rape, too.
Well, yeah.
Oh, well, okay, great. Well, I'm glad that you're spreading the crimes out a little bit. You got problems, man. I think you do it on purpose, if you want my honest opinion. I think you do it to provoke people.
I don't do anything wrong. I mean, okay, I saw one time a black guy, and he was breaking into the back of my uncle's store.
Yeah?
And that made me a racist.
Oh, you're full of crap.
That don't make you a racist, man. That makes you an idiot.
He was breaking into my uncle's store. That's a true story.
Okay, so it's a true story. How does that mean that every black guy's a thief? This is the problem. You got a deeper problem than this. I can see a black guy breaking into a freaking store. I don't automatically assume everybody's a thief.
Yeah, but I was a kid then.
So what? Jeez.
What about the time you told me you jumped in a pile of leaves?
What pile of leaves?
When you were at your house and a gardener was black and yelled at you.
Yeah? Ernest was his name.
Yeah, Ernest. And you jumped into the leaves.
Do you mind if I tell the story?
Well, didn't you say you was mad at black people after that?
No, I didn't say that at all. I said I was mad at him. And I was a little stupid kid, and he had cleaned these leaves up in our...
You're going to say in your black yard?
Yes, in our black yard. And...
See, that's racism.
I'm kidding, okay? He'd rake the leaves, he put them in a pile, I got home from school, I came running through the backyard, and I dove into the pile of leaves, and Ernest got mad at me and yelled at me. It was the first time he ever yelled at me, and I was really mad, and I was embarrassed. It had nothing to do with the fact that he was a black guy. Okay?
Well, it's unusual to have a black girl, and usually they're Chinese.
Yeah.
Usually they're Chinese? You must mean they're Japanese.
That's it, right.
Thank you. Quit being a racist.
Sorry.
All right. That was a big, fat waste of 15 minutes talking to your ass about that stuff. I'm telling you.
Man, you've got me all wrong.
I ain't got you all wrong. I got you figured out right down to the plate in your head. And you got to clean your act up. We're going to come back. We have with us, is it Don Mixa coming up? Or are we going to talk to...
Yeah, have Harvey Weirman.
Harvey Weirman coming on here to discuss the legality of this Herman Cain situation. What's going on? Is Herman Cain done for? Let's find out with Harvey Weirman next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And although this is the news and information hour, so no calls get taken on this here show in this here hour.
Yeah, a lot of people are not even taking phone calls.
Well, we still take the odd call, but a lot of talk shows, it's true. It is now state of the art for many big-time talk shows, major market shows, etc., to not take phone calls at all. And it's not because we have any disrespect for you. It's because you want to move the show sometimes in a different direction, and having to take phone calls slows it down a little bit. You have to kind of stop down for the caller base and lots of technical things there that I don't really want to get into. See? So anyway, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our website is philhendryshow.com. This hour, we're going to be giving away a signed autograph, that is, CD to some. And by the way, I want to talk to the guys now back at the control room. The cat that won, oh God, the guy that won last night the shot glass. Well, I'll talk to you guys during the break.
You don't tell me you lost the guy's address.
I don't think I lost his address, but I'm not sure.
Nice move.
Don't worry about it. We'll be fine. All right, so our number is, well, the number is what the number is, and the show is what the show is, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me get on the line here now, Harvey Weirman. Harvey is a retired attorney at law and lives in San Marino, California, and is out tonight was at a dinner this evening honoring you, Harvey, for your work with the ACLU. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Phil. The honor was all mine, and what I mean by that is I was very grateful to a great many good people, and, you know.
When people say ACLU, you know what you get, right? You get a lot of people to think that you work for the devil.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Let me explain something. I was in the U.S. Marine Corps. I'm a veteran of service in the Pacific in World War II. So I don't have to apologize to anybody for the work I've done with the ACLU, and anybody wants to talk about it. But we just had dinner. My daughter is here, and she's bringing the car around, but I thought I'd help you out here with the situation on Herman Cain, and I'll tell you that it's the problem with this guy Cain is that, you know, it's a tough charge to beat, and by that I mean you have to ensure that you get a fair hearing. You have to ensure that people will listen to your side of this thing. But
do you need some water?
Well, I got to get some ice. My granddaughter, can you get Grandpa some water, honey? You get some water for Grandpa, okay? Here is where I think Herman Cain's got a shot, Bill. And
I noticed that you are now, and I know that you are more probably liberal and a Democrat, and Herman Cain's a Republican, but you're eminently fair in advising him.
Well, of course. You know, look, just because a guy's a Republican doesn't mean he's got to give up his rights to being a human being. And anybody who even jokes about it even if they're a fellow liberal such as I am, they can, thank you, honey, I got some water here.
Go ahead, take a drink, because it sounds like you...
Well, you know, it's the phlegm, it's a thick phlegm. Okay, that's good. You spilled it all over my pants. What is that, anyway, honey?
Okay, Harvey,
Well, she put something on my pants. What is that? My daughter's here, and she's got my granddaughter, and she put, is that some kind of a goo? What is that from? From her what? When's the last time she saw a doctor? It's all over my slacks here. So, Phil, Herman Cain is a human being with the rights, the same rights as any other human being. And I believe he has a case here. These women that are accusing him claim that some kind of a financial settlement was made with Herman Cain. And that at the time, they signed a non-disclosure agreement. That means that they would keep mum about the particulars of the settlement. And in point of fact, what it means is... Excuse me, I gotta get me water. Don't get me that goo. I don't want to drink. I don't know what she put in that cup, but it wasn't water. Which means that she is not she, that's my granddaughter, that... these women were supposed to keep quiet.
Okay. And they came out and they said what happened.
Yes, they came out and they violated, in other words, an aspect of this agreement that she had, both of them had. Aha! Oh, boy. Give me water. What is this? I don't want chocolate milk, honey. I gotta have water. So Herman Cain can sue these women for disclosing the particulars of this lawsuit.
He can. Now, doesn't that make him look guilty?
I believe that what he's doing is he can sue them for opening their mouths and spilling the facts of this case, even though the case itself... We don't know the facts. You see what I'm saying? In other words, they said that he sexually harassed them. But what did he do? Did he say something to them? Did he have a physical interaction with them? Hold on. Thank you very much. This isn't water either. Where's your mother? Go get your mom, okay? Tell her grandpa needs. So he can sue... These women.
All right, so he sues these women, and he sues them for what?
For violating the particulars, for violating the agreement, which was essentially a gag order.
All right, but when he sues them, it's not exactly, he's running for president.
I understand he's running for president. I understand that. But he's got to get, what he has to do is get ahead of the ball on this thing. He can't keep playing behind the ball. He can't keep playing catch up on this thing, which is all he's doing.
But what I'm saying is, if this guy, if Herman Cain says that I'm going to sue these women for disclosing the particulars of this case, he's basically saying they're right, I did do it, but I'm suing them to shut their mouths, and it looks like he doesn't want the truth to come out, and it looks like he is wanting to hide something.
But he has a legal right because they signed an agreement.
I understand that. But you know and I know, Harvey, that it isn't always about what's legal. It isn't always about what's right. It's about perception.
Now, hold on for a minute. I thought these were Republicans. And the Republicans are the ones that are always going on and on about how they believe in morality and they believe in values and they believe in... Hold on. Ah! God, that's like somebody just took a giant ball of mozzarella... And just went ahead and said, go ahead, gag on this. Get your mother, okay? What is this? Do you know what water is? What's water? What's in a toilet, yes. Don't go to a toilet. Get me water. I want water, though. Water! She's my granddaughter. I love her dearly. But she is as... I don't think I've ever met a child quite as dumb.
And well, is she all right?
Oh, yeah, she's fine. I mean, she's not... You think she's got a... A retard? No. She's
well, I'd be some kind of a disability.
No, she doesn't have any disability. She's just a dumb little girl. Just a dumb little girl. So,
hold on for a minute. Harvey Weierman with us talking about Herman Cain. What can he do? Herman Cain sue these women for violating the confidentiality of their agreement. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I know I was given a phone number out because we have an autographed Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD to give away tonight. And we're going to be giving away our Best of CD entitled Bring It, our Best of the Year 2001. It's autographed by yours truly, Phil Hendry, if you can answer the following question. And it's simply this. Who was the guest we had on this evening who was talking about his wife spending $2,000 at the mall and then tried to provoke a fight with him by saying she had lived with a black guy before she met him? Who was the guest that we had on tonight that was angry at his wife for spending money at the mall and whose wife then attempted to start a fight with him by saying she had dated a black man before they met? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. If you know the answer to that, the first person that we pick up the line with the right answer, very first person who has the right answer wins an autographed Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD. It is a legacy CD, one of our archived best ofs. It has fantastic material on it. And by the way, if you want to get our classic Phil Hendry podcast, you go over and sign up for it at our website as well. And get that one for free, too. That's our classic Phil podcast. 877-876-PHIL to answer the question, who'd we have on the show tonight that had the wife who tried to provoke him by saying she dated a black man before they met? All right.
See, that's kind of racist.
That's not racist. That's me pointing out how racist some people are. Okay, bud? God. 877-876 is the number. 877-876-PHIL is the number to win the Best of CD. So let me see here, man. I know that I wanted to talk a little bit about this Michael Jackson. This poor young man, I say young man, Michael Jackson was 50 years old when he died. And he's a guy that was one of the most popular entertainers the world has ever known. He winds up taking drugs that, for whatever reason, are not good for you. And he winds up taking them at the either at the behest or the encouragement or provided by this Dr. Conrad Murray. And now he's dead. Well, the case against Michael Jackson's doctor has now gone to the jury. The case of Michael Jackson's doctor.
You said Michael Jackson. It's Jackson.
Thank you, bud. I might have misspoke. I don't know. God, man.
Well, I may have misspoke. Michael Jackson. Sounds like you're all, hard of hearing or something. I think Michael Jackson.
I'm going to haul off and belch you in 5 seconds.
Right.
I'm not in the mood to mess around with you, man. You know what I'm saying?
God. I'm Phil Hendry. You're Michael Jackson. Ow!
That's right. Screaming like a little girl. Come on, let's get the phone lines full here. 877-876-PHIL. If you know who the guest was that we had on tonight, whose wife tried to bait him into an argument by saying that she had dated a black man, the winner gets a Best of Phil Hendry Show CD. All right. You know, you ain't funny, okay? So in any event...
It just sounded like that to me.
Yeah, okay, ha-ha. Michael Jackson's doctor, Dr. Conrad Murray, the case against this guy has now gone to the jury. In a final statement delivered in a packed courtroom, a defense attorney cast Dr. Conrad Murray as a victim of Jackson's celebrity, saying he would never have been charged with involuntary manslaughter if his patient was someone other than Michael Jackson. So in other words, what the defense was saying is that this man was targeted because he was Michael Jackson's doctor, and he must have done something wrong because Michael Jackson is a celeb. Prosecutor David Walgren portrayed Murray as a liar and greedy opportunist to put his own welfare before that of Jackson. Conrad Murray is criminally liable for the death of Michael Jackson, not because it was Michael Jackson, but because Conrad Murray is guilty of criminal negligence. Superior Court Judge Michael Pastor submitted the case to jurors after a full day of arguments and told them to begin deliberation on Friday. So, you guys got any opinion on that?
I think he's guilty. He gave that kid drugs.
I don't have any opinion, and I'll tell you this. I think it's really important to obviously follow these cases. But Michael Jackson and the law and courtrooms, man, that has been happening so often and so much to so many people. And when I say to so many people, what I mean is Michael Jackson's been accused of things by so many people. Now his doctor's being accused of killing him. I mean, this guy has been in courtroom after courtroom after courtroom, either as a dead man or a living man, either being accused or having someone being accused because of what they did to him, that the particulars of these cases, it doesn't matter anymore. Nobody wants any truth when it comes to this guy. Everybody thinks they've got the truth. Everyone thinks they've got it's cut and dried, it's black and white.
Don't you think the guy was a child molester?
I don't know if he was a child molester. Was he weird? Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. Knowing what I know about this guy Jackson and how strange a man he was, it's entirely possible. I don't find it out of the ordinary at all. I think it's entirely possible that, yeah, he had kids for sleepovers, and, yeah, he laid in beds with them and did nothing to them. He just wanted to hang out with kids and that there was nothing sexual involved. Because that's in the minds of the mass of Americans, because that's what, quote, you know, to be honest with you, that's probably what most Americans would think they'd do if they were in that situation. Maybe that's what their problem is. But I just don't think that anything came out in any of those trials about that guy being guilty. So now here we come with this guy, Conrad Murray. And I'm supposed to believe now that this guy is guilty because, well, he shouldn't have given him this drug, and he shouldn't have given him that drug, and he shouldn't have given him... I don't know. Did he make a mistake? Maybe. Was it a mistake that had been made by other doctors with other patients? Maybe. You know. But, you know, even in death, this cat cannot rest. I mean, they won't... They just... And I remember the first time, you know, I was talking to the guys before the show. You know, I would prefer to remember Michael Jackson's a great entertainer. I'm not getting into the, you know, the ghoulish aspects of his life. I'm not going to get into the ghoulish aspects of his death. I'm not going to get into any of that stuff. I'm very, very comfortable in saying, I don't know. That doesn't make me stupid. I'll debate that with anybody, anytime, anywhere, if they're actually people that want to debate. I won't talk to imbeciles about it. I'm not going to do a Facebook debate on it. I'm not going to do a Twitter debate on it. I'm not going to talk to anonymous jackasses who really have no interest in, you know, the truth of the matter at all. I'm not going to talk to people that don't like black people, so that's why they think he's guilty. I'm not going to talk to guys that are repressed homosexuals, so that's why they don't like Michael Jackson. I'm not going to talk to people that may be child molesters themselves. All I'm looking for is a little bit of truth here. If this doctor is guilty of malpractice, all right. But I don't trust the system anymore when it comes to Michael Jackson, because it has been so polluted by celebrity reporting. It's been so polluted by idiotic commentary. It's been so polluted by imbecilic conclusions drawn based on nothing, drawn on this man. I don't even know if the testimony in court about Michael Jackson that has been given has been true. I don't know if the testimony that's been given about Conrad Murray is true. So I'm here to tell you, I don't care, you know. But do you care?
Well, not really. I mean, but if the guy is guilty...
How are you ever going to know?
Well, they're going to find out in the court.
Maybe. Maybe they'll find out in the court. But I've seen the judicial system twisted in such obscene ways. Here's a guy, Jackson. He gets convicted... Or not convicted, he gets put on trial for molesting children, and I never did hear any actual proof of that. Now you know all about Casey Anthony. She's walking. And I'm told by the very same people that say Michael Jackson was guilty as a child molester, I'm told by the very same people that Casey Anthony is an innocent woman. Most of them that say that, by the way, are men. Stupid men.
Well, why do you say they're stupid?
Because you got to be stupid to think that woman's innocent.
Yeah, but it's the same thing.
No, but it's not the same thing. They don't have... No. It's not the same thing. Not at all. Okay? You had a jury. First of all, we had a jury in that Casey Anthony case that didn't even take any kind of an honest look at any of that evidence. The reasons they gave for acquitting that woman were the most unbelievably stupid I've ever heard in my life. You'd swear to God these people were all born after the discovery of DNA, and unless they have DNA evidence, you can't convict anybody of anything. And as far as the Michael Jackson thing goes, that guy was convicted in the court of public opinion, so it doesn't make any difference, you know. What anybody says. I mean, it really doesn't. He's a child molester, and he's a homosexual, and he's this and he's that, and he's going to be that way until the day he dies. Michael Jackson, you're witnessing, folks, the very beginning stages of what history has done to some people. How some people are vilified and how that reputation stays with them for decades, if not longer, until finally someone does the proper research, everyone shuts their mouth, all of the dumbasses have died and blown away, and a new generation of people come along, and they want to look at things more clinically and a little bit more clearly, and so they dust off the old newspapers, and they pull out all of the old binders full of all the old medical reporting, and they take a look at the transcripts of the trials again, and they take a much more clear-eyed view of it, and you'd be surprised what distance... And time can do when it comes to, you know, history. All right, we're going to come back here with the winner of our CD in a moment and the final segment of the show here tonight. I don't know if Don Mixon wants to talk about that Groupon thing.
Yeah, I got him online, too. He's going to talk about Groupon and how he makes all that money.
All right, Don Mixon next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. Phil Hendry Show. Go to TalkRadioNetwork.com for more information. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, our winner, by the way, tonight of our Best of CD, a autographed Best of CD, is Aaron Chep. Do I have the right name there, bud?
Yeah, I think that's it right there, if you look right there.
I understand that's his last name. Where are my reading glasses? Aha! Aaron Chep, Chepquick, Chep...
Chapdick.
Not Chap... It's Chaprick.
It's Chaprick.
I'm going to belt you. Chapnick, that's why it's spelled C-H-A-P... Oh, Chapnick. Okay, Aaron Chapnick.
You're not talking about Fred, man. You ought to learn how to read.
Hey! I didn't have my glasses on. Aaron Chapnick of Medford, Oregon. Cool. Thanks very much, Aaron. So your CD will go out tomorrow. Yes, it'll go right out the door and into a garbage can. No, it won't. It'll get mailed to you. I will tell you one thing. And by the way, hey, Alex, man, did you email me that photograph? You never emailed me that photograph, dude. I got a book sent to me, and I got this book, and usually I'm very happy to see books. I love books, but I like books of history, you know, sue me. I like nonfiction. I don't read fiction. I don't have anything against people that write fiction. I'm bored by it, and that's just, you know, how messed up I am. Let's just chalk it up to that. But a lot of nonfiction can suck, too. Anyway, Alex, man, if you're listening, dude, he took a picture of me one morning. He was over at the house, and I got this book in the mail, Catherine Cryer and Some Horse Dung, you know, about, I'm telling you, folks, you know, I get a lot of books from a lot of publishers, and this one was one of those typical things about, you know, something like the Bill of Rights or the Bill of Wrongs, you know, some crap like that. Some other jive ass wrote a book because there was an astoundingly good biography of Alexander Hamilton written by Ron Chernow. Some stupid ass wrote a book about how Alexander Hamilton was bad for the country and did all kinds of terrible things, using as his primary research the conclusions that were drawn by Ron in his marvelous biography. And this guy, by the way, who wrote this this rip job on Alexander Hamilton, the guy's not a historian. He's an economist, and he's a politicized economist. So in other words, he's a moron. So I got that book. I get books written by talk show hosts. No offense, but I would use that as toilet paper immediately if I were you folks. If you run out and you don't want to shuffle down the hall for like a rag.
Yeah, sometimes you got to shuffle down the hall, get a paper towel.
Yeah, so I had to do that one time. Another time.
All right, guys, don't give me your history of running out of toilet paper, okay? Let me just give you some advice, okay?
Can I get a talk show host book?
Yes. If you run out of toilet paper, make sure you've got a book written by a talk show host handy, you know, somewhere nearby, and start ripping the sheets out of that for toilet paper. I'm telling you, you know, you can do worse.
They use a lot of really rough paper, though.
Well, you know, they do use rough paper, but it beats wax paper.
God, man, you imagine wiping with wax paper?
No, I can't. So I took this book, this Catherine Cryer book, another jive-ass book, and I held it over the garbage can holding my nose. No, I actually held it over the garbage can pointing to it like, hey, my latest reading material. And then I think Alex snapped the shot just as the book was leaving my hand and plummeting into the can. And I think, because he showed me the shot, it was beautiful because the book is suspended in midair, leaving my hand but heading into the garbage can, but it was not blurred.
Oh, that's cool. So you can see the face and everything?
Yeah, you see the title?
You can see the title as the book is falling into the garbage can. Catherine Cryer and, you know, God Loves You or whatever. Man, I'm getting really sick and tired of these books by these clowns. Now, I understand everybody has a right to write a book. But at what point do you know, at what point are people going to finally get a clue? They're not reading anything of any substance. These people are not writing about anything that's, I mean, when talk show hosts write books about how they feel about the country, folks, you're in big trouble if you read them. You're in big, big trouble if you read them. You want to get the guy's opinion, you can listen to his show. Now, that's when if you want to read a talk show host book about, you know, how he finds something funny or his, you know, his life story or whatever. I mean, I don't think there's a problem with that. But when these people that do these talk shows start imagining themselves as the purveyors of wisdom and philosophy and, oh, my goodness, look what's happened to our country and the founding fathers would never. And all these right wingers, I'm telling you, the only thing that you can decently do, the only decent thing to do with that book is page by page, use it as ass wipe. Thank you very much.
Welcome, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right. That is the name of our latest lecture, which will be available online. I'm only kidding.
You ought to do a podcast. You know, a lot of people say, I'm still going to do a podcast.
Well, we have the podcast of our show. That's good enough for now.
A lot of people think I do a different podcast than that one.
That's what a lot of people think. That's great. And, you know, I will take that under advisement. But right now, what I want to concentrate on is that people enjoy our website and the podcast of our current show that we're doing right now here at TRN. Okay. I think we have a little bit more news to get through here tonight. I know I've got Don Mixa on the line, and Don's going to talk to us about getting into, for Don, something that is pretty, you know, I would say that's a pretty standard run-of-the-mill thing. To get into the stock game by purchasing stock and, you know, being fairly successful with it. And Don Mixa joins us now from Seattle. Don, how you doing?
Very good, Phil. How you doing?
And I wanted to talk to you, unless it sounds like you're running a bath.
I'm running a little bit of a bath right now. And just had a kind of a tough day at school and just got in from a teacher at conference that we had over at the campus and so on.
Okay. Don, you play the stock market, don't you?
I do play the stock market, yeah.
And you're pretty good at it.
Well, I like to think that I know what I'm doing, but I have made money, yeah.
I just saw a story today about Groupon, and Groupon is, their IPO is $20, initial public offering of $20, and I wondered what you thought of that as an investment.
Well, I have to tell you, Phil, of that or because of that, you know, as a result of that or because of that, I don't know which is it, which it is, I do not believe in capitalism. I think it is a corrupt and degenerate system.
And yet you play the stock market.
Yes, I do play the stock market because I happen to be good at it. And it does it does rankle my conservative friends. I got to get up and get a. It does rankle my conservative friends because they can't play the stock market and they believe in business and they believe in capitalism and they get raped. They get raped repeatedly.
You don't believe in capitalism. You make a lot of money. They believe in capitalism. They get raped.
They get raped repeatedly. Yeah. I want to get this soap. There's a new soap out. Lavender.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot.
Well, I mean, thanks a lot for walking into my bathroom.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by our good friends Dan Northcraft, Fred Scotty, and Phil Hendry, another good friend of mine. Join us online at philhendryshow.com, and we'll see you tonight for more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.